I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the regular session of the Mayor and Council of the City of Bisbee, County of Cochise, and State of Arizona, to be held on Tuesday, March 7, 2017, at 7 p.m. in the Bisbee Municipal Building, 118 Arizona Street, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen is excused. Councilmember Frank Davis?
Here.
Mayor David Smith?
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom?
Here.
City Staff Richard Marsh, City Manager Ashley Coronado, City Clerk Carrie Bagley, Finance Director Albert E. Chavez, Police Chief Mark Berlinette, Fire Chief Britt Hansen, City Attorney.
Let's have a moment of silence and reflect upon those that have provided us guidance in our life and reflect further on how we can pass that on. Thank you. Would you please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Poor Mr. Lindstrom, he gets it. We put the biggest guy at the end. Thanks.
The youngest.
That's why we put him at the end.
It's that that time when I get to present the Employee of the Month Award, and this is an award which a lot of us know are actually, this is voted on by the employees, and they actually throw a few bucks into the pot and come up with the really nice plaque and a gift certificate, and it's my pleasure to present for the month of February. The Employee of the Month is Joe Ward.
And this states for your hard work and dedication to the success of our city. Thank you, sir. Congratulations. Thank you for all you do. A lot of people don't realize all you do.
And the next presentation is by Laura Miller, Bisbee High School principal. And so I would turn it over to Laura, and thank you so much for being here, by the way. We love to see these young people in here. Just keep bringing them in.
Sure.
I know they're going to escape in just a minute, but but it's great to see them. Thank you.
Oh, sure. You're welcome. Okay. I'm going to begin this really by saying my mother. Okay, my mother used to say, now my mother was a 30-year veteran of New York City public schools, okay? And she used to say that the best resource as an educator you'll ever have is your words. That's your best resource. Funding comes and goes, but your best resource are your words. Your voice, you use it to command attention, to educate, to show compassion, but really, and this is what we're about here tonight, the reason why I'm here, to express gratitude, okay? Tonight it's about honoring a really special teacher and certainly his program and these young people right here. It's Jason McCutcheon. Jason McCutcheon, I'd like to say this publicly right now, has earned a very, very prestigious award. I just want to make sure I get it right, so I'm looking at my notes right here. His award is Innovative Program Award for the State of Arizona, and that's awarded by the National Association of Career and Technical Education. That's an incredibly prestigious award that Jason McCutcheon has. One, and if I'd like you to stand and be recognized, please, Mr. McCutcheon. Okay, now at this point, I'd like Jason McCutcheon to say a couple of words and invite him to the podium, please.
I
I've gotten to the place in my life where I need to wear glasses, so I put them on, put them off, so that's what I would be doing. So thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I'm Jason McCutcheon. I'm your Bisbee High School construction coach, and I like to use the term coach instead of teacher. It ties me into with my students a lot tighter. You know, their success is my success. My success is their success. And so this award that I received from the Association of Career and Technical Education Teachers is for the state of Arizona. They look at me as a teacher, they look at my program, and they look what I'm doing in the entire state. I was also featured last week at Expect More Arizona, and just to brag a little bit more, they have a Facebook page, and they put on teachers, and right now I'm ranked the third highest. We also are ranking twice what Douglas is, so if we get a few more hits, we'll be number one. So if you look it up on Facebook, it's Expect More Arizona. It's a good advocacy group for teachers and students. But most important, and more important than me winning this award, I really want to say this would not have been possible without the great and generous support of the city and everybody here. I want to say, you know, just a couple of people specifically. Jason from the Copper Queen Library, he came to me and asked, can we do some renovations? And I said, I would love to. I'd love to do some renovations. The fire department, we're slowly working on a shed for them. They asked us if we could build a shed. It's getting done. People have come to us, and I just am so excited that you guys, you know, invest your support in me as a teacher and in my students and their ability. They're great kids, and they're doing great things. Not only just that, but also Step Up Bisbee and NACO, they've already started the conversation about what are we going to do with these kids? We can't just leave them in school. Let's get them some internships. So again, that's the community of all of us coming together and doing these great things. We're getting noticed. We're getting noticed not just amongst ourselves, but we're getting noticed in the county. Our new school superintendent, Jackie Play, has asked me to help develop professional development for our teachers in the county. So that's really exciting. And of course, my class right here, this is just a small percentage of them, but they're great students. We've won at Cochise County Fair. We're building things for the community. They're building their own careers and their own futures. And what I do for these guys, and they're helping me out. I mean, they're here to support me tonight, and I want to say thank you to everybody. I really am pretty excited about winning this, but what I'm more excited about is this continued support that the city's offered us. So thank you. Thank you, everyone, very much. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to make a wide discreet.
That's quite all right. Thank you, Ms. Miller. Thank you so much. And should anybody want to see some of that handiwork, just go to the library. Done a great job for the city. Now it's time for call to the public. The first person signed up is Ms. Cato Daly.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I wanted to come and let everyone know about a fun weekend coming up. It is called Return of the Turkey Vultures. And for those of you who may not know that the town of Capistrano, California, has Return of the Swallows, Return of the Capistrano Swallows. And they've been doing this fiesta for about 30 years. Now, we don't have swallows, but we have turkey vultures. So I think we have something a lot better. So we're going to spoof on the Return of the Capistrano Swallows and have Return of the Turkey Vultures here this weekend. Our Turkey Vulture Committee, which is not coincidentally named after a group of turkey vultures that roost in a tree, is called a committee, consists of the Bisbee Royale, Southern Arizona Bird Observatory, myself, and some other individuals. And we have put together a wacky weekend of, we have two Western movies at the Royale Friday night and Saturday night that are spoofs. And then on Saturday morning, we're having a live turkey vulture, courtesy of Sabo, that's coming down in Liberty Wildlife, that's coming down to the farmer's market in the morning. It'll be at the Copper Queen Plaza in the afternoon, so you can see one up close and personal. Hoping that the council will a parade that we have planned at 4:30 on Main Street, and we've made three 15-foot-wide turkey vulture puppets to go down Main Street. So I hope that'll pass consent agenda. We also have an educational talk at the Royale so people can learn about these. Really, they're really actually quite amazing birds, as ugly as they are. If we didn't have them, we would be knee-deep in carrion, and I don't think we'd want that. So these are really, really interesting birds. So that will be a talk given by a couple of ornithologists from the Southern Arizona Bird Observatory at the Royale on Saturday night, followed by a spaghetti western. And throughout this this weekend, we've also asked eating establishments if they would also spoof.
Can we wrap up?
Yes, we can.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, we'll also spoof, and so look around for some turkey vulture cuisine at our establishment. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Daly. Really appreciate that. We do have our 3 minutes, and we need to.
You bet.
So I have to be the rude person, but thank you so much. The next person is
not me.
Marie Miner.
Hi, Marie Miner, living in the Briggs neighborhood. I really shouldn't be here. It's against doctor's orders because I'm having a health condition. If you see me shaking, it's not because I'm nervous. It's because I'm suffering from continual hypoglycemia. And if I stumble for words, it's part of the issue. The World Health, I'm going to read an article that was in Google, and it's called Smart Meters EMR Safety Network. If you want more information, I have on the top of it the exact Google address. People have heard me touting about the smart meter, and I'm a little bit of a victim of one, even though I made sure it wasn't on my house. A smart meter is a meter that's called an automated meter, and they put it on the homes. APS put it on, and I think maybe the gas company has. I haven't verified that one yet. The purpose of it was to save them money. You don't have to have a man or woman come into your yard and get bit by dogs or, you know, snakes get them, and they don't have to pay for the person to do that. They just have a drive-by. It beams about 400 feet. It's electromagnetic radiation, which is abbreviated EMR. In this article, it'll be referring to radio frequency, which is a small subset. Let me give you an example of EMR. If you were to open your microwave door, and the microwave door wasn't working quite right, and it stayed on, you would all know that's not a smart thing to do. Well, we're getting beamed with EMR by the smart meter. Here's the article. I have to take my glasses off because I forgot the reading glasses I just found last weekend. The World Health Organization classifies RF, radio frequency radiation, as a 2B carcinogen, same as DDT and lead. Military studies here, and they underline them because everything that's underlined, you can go further on and get more information, show pulsed radiation can cause serious health problems, including tinnitus, memory loss, and seizures. Thousands of studies, and that's underlined, link biological effects to RF radiation exposure, including increased cancer risk, damage to the nervous system, adverse reproductive effects, DNA damage, and more. The top public health official, I have 30 seconds left, The top health official in Santa Cruz County, California, prepared this report confirming smart meters pose a health risk. The American Academy of Environmental Medicine sent this letter to the CPUC, and I couldn't find that abbreviation yet, calling for a halt to wireless smart meters. See also this letter from Dr. Carpenter, endorsed by 50-plus experts. Read about customers' smart meter health complaints, which include sleep problems, headaches, nausea, anxiety, heart palpitations,
Ms. Miner.
Tinnitus, and ear pain.
Ms. Miner.
And one sentence.
No,
concentration
the time is
and memory
up.
Problems, dizziness, immune nervous and hormonal system impacts.
Ms. Miner.
Get the smart meter off your phone. Off your phone.
The next time we're up here, it's 3 minutes. Well, the best you can is 3 minutes. And I would really appreciate you would respect us and the chair as well as the audience. Please. Thank you. The next person called to the public is Tom Nelson. Doesn't start to get there, Tom.
Because I'm beeping, so I took the battery out. Hi, I'm Tom Nelson, a 1 week homeowner in Ward 2 now. And So I just had a couple of things to go over, doing my usual shtick when I come up here. We've got a couple of events coming up, one of which is on the agenda for, and this one's quite a while, but it's just your save the date, and it's for the Rotary's Vintage Bisbee, which is a wine and food tasting, if you haven't heard of it before, and it's going to be a great time this year, and so save the date. It's October 8th, which is the Saturday of the Columbus Day weekend, so, and hopefully we'll have lots of folks visiting and have a nice big crowd so we can raise some money for all the things we do at Rotary. And then I wanted to ask, do the high school kids, could they come in and do my kitchen? And then one other event coming up real quick here is 4, 8, and 9 right down here at the ballpark, Warren Ballpark. It's the Friends of Warren Ballpark, what do we call it now? Copper Classic Baseball Tournament, and that's baseball. And it's vintage baseball. It's a lot of fun. Come check it out. And, you know, in the last year, we have actually erected the new ADA bathrooms and put a scoreboard up. At least 95% of the cost of that scoreboard was from the Friends of Warren Ballpark. So come out. It's a great event. And we also have a Saturday night event that's going to be up at Crazy Ponies with a lot of blues music. So come support us, please.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, sir. And particularly, people should come and watch because the mayor's throwing the first pitch, which ought to be a real...
I don't want to miss that.
Oh, yeah. We don't. Well, actually, the mayor would like to miss that, but the rest of us
will. We'll send the catcher
halfway. Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, thanks. All right. All right, we're going to move on to accounts payable, please.
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $180,237.36.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Do we have any questions or comments from the council? Hearing none. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously 6-0. Approval of the consent agenda. First, I need to, I'll be pulling item J. Okay. That's item J. Item A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of the Mayor and Council held on January 3rd, 2017 at 7 p.m. B, approval of the minutes of the regular session of the Mayor and Council held on January 17th, 2017. C, approval of the appointment of Sharon Rock to the Community Sustainability Commission. D, approval of the appointment of Alice Hammers to the Police and Fire Advisory Committee. E, approval of the resignation of Joe Mazzi from the Streets and Infrastructure Committee. F, approval of the resignation of Keith Dennis from the Board of Adjustments. G, approval of the resignation of Keith Bogue from the Board of Adjustments and the Community Sustainability Commission. H, approval of a park facility and right-of-way use permit for the return of the Turkey Vultures Parade on Main Street to be held on Saturday, March 11, 2017, from 4:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. I, approval of a park facility and right-of-way use permit for the Bisbee Rotary Club, Vintage Bisbee Food and Wine Tasting and Entertainment at City Park on Saturday, October 7, 2017, from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. K, approval of an application for an extension of premises, patio permit submitted by the Copper Queen Hotel for an event to be held at 11 Powell Avenue, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, June 16, 2017. Helen Lampion, applicant. We do have a speaker, but I'll get to you in just a second. Do we have any council member wish to... have an item pulled.
Yeah, I'd like to pull item D.
Item D?
Yes.
Item D, that would be the appointment of Alice Hammers. Yes, ma'am?
Actually, that was the same item that I wanted pulled as well.
Okay. All right. And then with that, Clinton Helen, do you wish to address the council on item K?
Not at this moment.
Okay, you're down here, but it's not required, so.
I apologize. I actually fell on the stairs today, and I broke a foot.
Oh.
And we're trying to come here right now, and they're going to the hospital afterwards.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get you moving right along here then, folks, and we're very sorry for that, by the way, Clint. Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through C, E through I, and K.
Do we have a second?
I second it.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now, this would be item D. Sir?
Yes, I don't see Alice Hammers here. And I had a couple of questions that I wanted to ask her, and maybe we could postpone this and let her come, and so that I could ask her the questions that I have.
I didn't particularly have questions for Alice. I did want to thank her for stepping up and mm-hmm. volunteering, but I have a concern that she doesn't live in town, mm-hmm. and that just to me that just kind of opens the door of allowing anybody anywhere to serve on a board or commission. I know we have requirements and waivers for serving on more than one committee, mm-hmm. and residency. We make exceptions for under a year of residency, but this clearly is no residency.
Right.
So
and
I have concern with that.
Surely. And just by way of discussion, we have presently people, and we have certainly in the past had people that are not residents of Bisbee that are serving on our commissions. So, do you have a motion?
Well, I move that we postpone this and give Alice a chance to speak for herself.
Okay. Is your motion to table?
I move to table.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, sir. All those in favor?
Excuse me. Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Is this tabling to the next regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council?
I took that to mean
okay.
that.
Let me put it. Would you okay. I move to table this until the next regular meeting of the Bisbee City Council.
And we'll notify Ms. Hammers. And is that your second?
I second it.
Thank you, sir. Now, and thank you, Council. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. This will be item number three. Discussion and possible approval of the new updated Bisbee Police Department manual. Alberto Chavez, Police Chief. And we do have speakers signed up on this.
Mayor, Council, staff. Again, this is we brought this last council meeting, the policy manual. As you can see, there's a lot of information there. It took a long time and a lot of work to get it to the point that it's at adapted to our use. They gave us a good product, I think, to begin with, and we had to build upon that. And with help from people in my staff, and of course from Lori Olin from the County Attorney's Office, she put a lot of hours into this with us as well. And this is the product that we came up with. I know there's some concerns over the mental health side of this policy. And what I've met with Simpatico, with the law enforcement liaison for Simpatico, every year that I've been chief, I have agreed to and signed the protocols for Cochise County. These protocols aren't in that policy manual verbatim because they change every year. And sometimes even sooner. When we identify something that needs to be changed in here, we change it. It's kind of almost a living document. We have the ability to bring issues forward and have them heard. So we didn't want to put this verbatim into the manual because then we know we'd have to change it maybe twice a year or more. But if this passes, the manual passes tonight, there will be a general order or special order from me to my staff that states that these are the protocols and that these guidelines will be followed whenever possible for that, to cover the parts that some people have concerns about. So those protocols will be ordered, and everybody will receive a copy. And you know, I don't see why we couldn't put this same protocol on the website as well and make that available to everybody.
Thanks, sir. My questions, as I understand from discussing this with you, you're issuing a general order tomorrow.
Yes.
To your people, indicating that this is the guideline. And this is being done in such a way that should those guidelines change, then a new general order will be issued and the officer will be provided those new guidelines.
Yes.
At that time.
It'll be provided with the updates. The general order has an expiration date of the 31st of December 2017, with the hopes that we will replace it immediately with the following year's protocols, and then we'll just put out another order for the following year, putting that one in place. So this we will be able to continue this much easier than to have to go through a process like this every time it updates.
Sure. Are there any questions from the council?
No, that's
yet. All right, sir. Thank you. Ms. Pullen, you're signed up to speak.
Thank you, Mayor. Donna Pulling, I live in Bisbee, and I do have a written statement, and I do agree with the chief in terms of the protocol, the Simpatico protocol that deals with Title 36, involuntary admission. My questions are directed to those policies in 41.11.3 in dealing with the mentally ill. That is prior to an involuntary admission. That is encountering a mentally ill person during a crisis call. And the protocol that was presented by the Homeless Task Force to the council in February of 2016 outlines in detail a lot of research that went into this protocol as to how to handle a person prior to calling NurseWise and asking for an involuntary submission. That's what we are asking, that portion, 41.11.3, not be approved tonight, and that the council have time to go over the procedure that was recommended by the task force and include that procedure into the mental health section. While studying the procedure presented in the manual and talking with others, it also came up that one of the reasons why police officers are dealing with mental illness crisis calls is that every mental health agency and every hotline instructs its clients that if they are experiencing a crisis, to hang up and call 911. Effectively, what this does is shift the responsibility of care for their clients during non-business hours to the police and sheriff's departments. As you know, mental health services are provided through Access. Access has a multi-million dollar contract with a for-profit company, Simpatico, to deliver those services. In Bisbee, Simpatico contracts Arizona Counseling and Treatment Services, ACTS, and Community Health Agency, CHA, and NurseWise for crisis intervention. Could it be that these for-profit companies have been using 911 as their on-call after-hours service provider at the city's expense? Who has given the agencies permission to use 911 as their default emergency contact number? Is there a contractual relationship between the city and the service provider for this purpose? Since companies are using our city police department, can the city bill access for services rendered?
Real quick, please.
Am I up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You're up.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Why don't we take the next person to address the council, and then we can. Ms. Lutgren.
Thank you.
I always love trying to tell an attorney to keep it short.
I kept it to exactly 3 minutes.
Yes, ma'am. Time. Thank you.
I'm asking the council if it approves the manual, and I know that there's a great desire among many to get a new manual finalized, because we've been waiting for it for over a year. In fact, I went through my old emails today and saw from March 31st, 2016, an email from Tom Reardon to Justin Johnson saying, can you please let me know, has the recommendation that Ms. Pulling referred to, that was put together by a number of community stakeholders, has that been forwarded to whoever's doing the manual? I don't know that a response was ever obtained. I ask that this portion of the manual in its current form not be placed on the website as the current protocol, because it is fraught with errors that can be corrected in minimal time. My understanding is that it was over a year ago that a draft manual was purchased from this agency in Tucson, and that for the past year some work has been done on it, and I don't know by whom, because it certainly wasn't the committee that I was a part of. At some point, two committees were formed, and we were feeling like we were being kept out. I am greatly concerned about these protocols. I receive many calls in my capacity as a lawyer who will do a lot of pro bono work in an emergency, and as a person who has had family members affected by serious mental illness. I am very concerned with the officers, each individual officer having a clear outline at his fingertips when one of these crises emerge, and this portion of the manual does not give that to them. I'm a lawyer, and I'm familiar with these things, and some of these are confusing to me. In addition to that, there is a flat-out error in dovetailing the statute, the law, that provides for what will happen when someone who is a danger to themselves or others is encountered by law enforcement. And these are not just details that are a bother to update from year to year in a manual. These are things that can be a matter of life or death, or in a criminal case, a matter of suppression or not suppression. These details are important. It should be done right the first time. It's easier to do. We have enough time to do it right, not enough time to do it twice. I ask for at least a continuance on this portion of the manual. 1 week should do it, and I think that the section on waiver of Miranda rights is also patently incorrect and needs to be reviewed by the county attorney. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Owen?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. First, we weren't provided with any information ahead of time on what the objections were, so we're sort of winging some of this. I want to let you know that I spent personally more than 100 hours revising this, and I don't agree that it's fraught with errors. I think it's not. We appreciate, and we do appreciate what this task force did. A lot of the recommendations they made were not feasible. We're not Tucson, and we have to work with the resources we have available, and so Chief Achavi and I have both reviewed the manual extensively, made extensive changes to it, and adapted it, sort of cobbled together pieces, not just from this, but from other agencies' manuals. The NAMI protocol, which is the National Alliance of the Mentally Ill, those are people I spoke with, to people from a couple of coalitions in Tucson and also in Phoenix. And we created a document that we believe is going to work best for the city of Bisbee. We don't think that there needs to be any kind of continuance. We think the document is extremely well referenced, that it's put together very well, that it represents probably the best option that we have for our police department now. The old manual is from the 1980s, I think, and Chief Achave purchased this, and we spent a lot of time revamping it. So that's our position on that. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to field those. Let me say, just regarding the Simpatico guidelines, our office does all the mental health Title 36 cases for this county, and it's our opinion that we should not implement the Simpatico protocols into this manual. They do change a lot. Mental health law is changing pretty rapidly, and there are lots of different things. Some things that will work for the sheriff won't work for the Bisbee Police Department, and so we're not, it's certainly not our opinion that we need to put that right into the policy manual. I just wouldn't recommend that.
May I ask a question then, Ms. Owens?
Yes, sir.
Are you suggesting, though, that as Chief and Chave indicated, that a general order would be issued indicating to follow the Simpatico guidelines, but that you're not putting the entire guidelines into the manual because you would have to change the manual?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's exactly correct. We review, Simpatico provides the proposed document to our office. We review that. We sort of go back and forth with them about some of the terms with regard to the sheriff's office, with regard to the different police agencies and so on. And we end up with a sort of a living document. And sometimes that changes during the year. Sometimes new case law comes out. The patrol officers need to understand what the protocol says, and they do. But putting it right into the policy manual would require us to change it quite a bit. And we really want a more stable document than that, one that our officers can rely on if they need advice about a particular topic.
Right. Understood. So Chief Achave's fix, if you will, satisfies that your
that was what we agreed.
Your apprehension.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks.
I had a question. Didn't we table this 2 weeks ago? I thought there was that 2 week span. Didn't we like work some of that out in that 2 weeks?
It was actually. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
No.
It was. I believe it was actually tabled because some members of the council hadn't had time to review it.
Oh, okay.
As my best recollection is to the reason right. it was tabled, sir. It wasn't about issues in it that needed to be worked out. Any other questions?
I mean, to me, it sounds like, was there a lawyer present when it was put together? I mean,
well, I'm the lawyer, and I spent over 100 hours on
okay.
it. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't
That's
know.
Okay.
That makes a difference in knowing what you do.
I'm one of the three lawyers that represents the city.
Any other questions? Yes? I know you do, so please come forward. Yes. This is an important enough issue that I think we can.
I'm just going to make myself available for questions if you have them. Sally Holcomb, Bisbee resident, also worked for Simpatico. Just wanted to just do some clarifications on a couple of things. Is that Simpatico holds the access contract for Medicaid, which covers those individuals who are Title 19 or in a, it's about 30% on average of the population that is eligible for receiving those services, and that's where the mental health services are provided. So there's the rest of the population that's not covered under those services. However, crisis are the services that we provide to the entire public. They work in conjunction with all of the first responders. Since the last contract, we now have an individual who's identified to dedicate her time to working with first responders. That individual didn't exist in previous contracts, so that's kind of a new position, and it's a really great resource. In addition to, I just wanted to say with another resource that's available is training for first aid for first responders that's available. I know that the police department has been taking advantage of that. But I also wanted to say, as far as the protocols are concerned, those were done in collaboration with almost all the law enforcement in the county. in a workshop room with everybody going through in detail, striking lines and writing out as they came and went to their parts of that document. So, and then there was painstaking detail done in getting signatures so that everybody bought into it. So even if you don't put it into the protocol, the signature, the chief has signed off on the document as understanding that this is the protocol, understanding that what does each separate agency, or what are they required to do within the context of their contracts or requirements. So that's what this document is, and I just wanted to kind of make that kind of a clarification. So, and I can't speak to some of the other things, although I was involved with the task force, and I think there was some painstaking work that was involved in doing a lot of the work that they've done, too.
So thank you, ma'am. Anybody have any, excuse me, any members of the council have questions of Ms. Holcomb? No. Thank you, ma'am. Council, do we have a, you have basically two requests before you. One is to pass this in its entirety. Another is to pass it with the exception of this section, to have this section looked at and revisited. Those are, as I understand from our discussions, those would be two potential moves. So do we have a motion?
Actually, I have a question real quick. I'm sorry.
Yes, of course.
So she's saying it would take like a week to agree. But what if they still can't agree after that week? I mean, where does that end? Where does the, you know?
Can I respond to a question that you asked about the postponement?
Yeah.
I have no idea. No. I believe you indicated that you would think that it could be worked out. What's another week, I think, is what you had indicated. In reality, we would be looking at over 2 weeks to the next meeting. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, it's just tough because if you can't, I mean, I can understand both points of view. I really can, and I also trust that, you know, our chief's doing the right thing, but then if somebody's looking at it with an issue, especially with the mental health part, and I've dealt a lot with mental health, and so, I mean, a week doesn't seem like that much of a time to...
Are you making a motion?
I make a motion to wait 2 weeks to the next meeting.
Okay. Well, then may I, sorry, I don't suggest that perhaps is your motion that to pass this manual with the exception of that one section, to revisit that section in the next meeting.
Yeah, so that's our only complaint right now. So, yes, I make a motion to pass the manual with the exception of the mental health.
To be revisited at our next meeting.
To be revisited at our next meeting.
All right, sir.
Mayor, I wanted to make some general comments.
Can we let's get a second on here, and then we can comment away. Do we have a second?
I second the motion.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. All right. We have a motion. We have a second. Comments. Mr. Dunn.
Mine are general comments, not dealing specifically with this one here. First of all, I mean, I found reviewing this to be quite enlightening. I mean, it certainly heightened my admiration for police officers in general, and I encourage the general public to take time to read this lengthy document in terms of the process that our police officers go through in terms of responding to the multitude of calls and issues that are brought before them. Certainly a general comment, and that is a continuing concern that I have that due to budget constraints, you know, we are down to basically two officer shifts. And there were certainly a number of situations described in this manual that prescribed that that two officers be dispatched to particular situations, burglar calls, domestic disputes, persons showing mental illness, drug trafficking, undocumented persons. There's quite a number of such situations. And certainly when such a call comes in, we, with two officers on, there's always the possibility that one of the officers is already occupied somewhere else in terms of another case, and how do we respond appropriately with staff shifts of only two. That's just a general comment, nothing reflecting on changing here. A couple of other just general observations. One was chapter 81, which talks about response and follow-up to 911 as well as 432-2262 calls. And it certainly talks, I guess I would like to have a little bit more discussion about how officers respond to more ordinary, if you want to call them that, the 432-2262 calls, because I think this is an important part of what I would call community policing, of how our community encourages, collaborates, works with citizens, the police department, and the public. And I think maybe, again, I would like some further amplification there, though certainly another possibility would be with the city manager's monthly column, that certainly this would be an appropriate topic for the chief and the city manager to address in one of those monthly columns in the newspaper in terms of just how are citizens encouraged to use the 2262 number, and how do we typically respond to those and serve those. It's just a reminder of our kind of focus on community policing and relationship between the police and citizens. Also, I've had discussions with the mayor and others in terms of a concern in terms of what I would call an investigation follow-up to calls. And I don't know that that is fully clarified there. There certainly have been some, this may be something that we may address at a later work session in terms of, again, with a limited staff, we don't always have the staff. We respond to calls, but often do not have the staff to provide needed follow-up and investigation if required. And certainly the mayor and others have had some suggestions in terms of how we might address that. Hopefully could be discussed at another time. Again, I'm making some general comments, but I'm having an opportunity to talk about police here, of which I'm quite proud. Another issue that has been brought to me and I found lacking, and that is that Chapter 43, which talks about responding to reported and suspected drug activity. And Chapter 43 speaks specifically, the titles are Organized Crime and High-Level Drug Investigation. Extensively it talks about that. Also talks about undercover agents. Talks about also a section on medical marijuana and how to deal with that. But it doesn't really talk about how do we respond to, I'm not sure what your word to use, lower-level reported and suspected drug activity. It's certainly something that I get comments on, and certainly what is described here seems to be more directed to organized crime. Maybe, again, not being a police officer, maybe that's how we need to address all suspected and reported drug activity, but it seemed like maybe we need some clarification in terms of how what citizens can expect in terms of responding to such calls, which I think are somewhat happen with a certain amount of, I shouldn't say frequency, but anyway, happen on some basis. Another kind of interesting, so anyway, those are things that I'm not really proposing changes now, but there are things that in terms of reviewing this and observing this, that things that I would like to throw out in terms of further work and thought. What's interesting in yesterday's paper, there was an article about, I believe it was states or cities who were prescribing training for driver's ed, basically. But the article basically was, and I think this is interesting, that we're talking about here in this manual, what is proper actions on, in terms of the police. This article was talking about what are proper interaction of the public with police. And I think that was kind of an interesting, while we talk about here proper interaction of police with the public, there's also the other side of that, what is the proper interaction of public with police, whether it's making, and part of that is what I talked about earlier, how do we make the 2262 calls, what do we do in terms of if we're stopped, that's part of driver's ed, what's the appropriate response in interacting to police. I thought it was an interesting article I read yesterday in the paper, triggered off, I want to make a comment, so we've had the opportunity here. So again, that could also be part of the city manager's periodic column in terms of issues, I think substantive issues that could be addressed in terms of again, appreciation of our public safety, and how can we better utilize that, interact with them. Again, I didn't want to let this pass without making some comments, and again, I really appreciate the work that's gone into this, and as I said earlier, I encourage others to read it as well, because it really does make you appreciative of what a police officer is trained and does on a daily basis, and we're wonderful to have the force that we have here.
Thank you, Mr. Dinn. We have a motion before us. That motion is to pass the procedures, policy and procedures manual, with the exception of the mental health section, to be reviewed within the next period of time and brought back to the council at the next meeting. Is that, Ms. Coronado, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 6-0. Next item is presentation of the Bisbee Fire Department 2016 annual report. Mark Bernalite, Fire Chief. Almost all your backup guys left you.
They're on call.
Okay. Well, you got the meanest one still here. It's okay.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. 2016 was a year of major significance and accomplishment for the Bisbee Fire Department. We were successfully awarded our 2015 FEMA grant of a 2016 wheel coach ambulance and a 2016 Rosenbauer Type 1 fire engine. And they were put into service April and July of 2016. Also, due to the record amount of revenue generated by our ambulance service, the previous mayor and council voted to purchase new turnouts for our firefighters. They replaced turnouts that were more than two NFPA cycles out of date. Another significant event was the signing of an MOU with the Copper Queen, Arizona Ambulance, and the City of Bisbee. This agreement allowed our department to have two-thirds of the interfacility transports from the Copper Queen. It also had us change base hospitals from Canyon Vista Medical Center to TNC. In addition, we received a generous $100,000 donation from the Copper Queen towards the purchase of a new ambulance. In addition, our EMS program continues to get stronger as we welcome three newly graduated and nationally certified paramedics to our system. This increased our number of paramedics to 8. And we presently have 2 EMTs in the current paramedic program, which will graduate in September. And this course is a 14-month course, so it's quite an honor when we get them out of there. We are also able to send 3 firefighters to the Arizona State Fire School. And as a result, we have 2 additional fire inspectors, and for the first time, we have a certified BLS instructor. This instructor position will enable us to do in-house refresher curriculum for our EMTs for their mandatory 2-year recertification. All firefighters completed an EVOC training program that was a requirement of the FEMA grant, and I'd like to congratulate Lieutenant Perez for putting that together. It was a lot of work. It was done at the county building. It was a didactic program as well as a hands-on driving program. And now that we have Lieutenant Perez as a certified instructor of that, any new employees coming aboard will be able to go through that course. We have now fully adopted electronic patient care reporting, and although there have been a few hiccups along the way, our medical reporting is significantly improved. We have been very fortunate to have the help and friendship and support of our community. However, I must make special thanks to Mayor Smith and our guardian angel, Mr. Temby. Both have been most helpful in helping our department. Mr. Smith was able to secure a private grant for our new ambulance, which allowed us to purchase a new cardiac monitor for that ambulance. And it was a very significant donation of $36,000. Mr. Tambi has given and helped us so many things since his initial donation of our Squad 81 from numerous tools and equipment. But in 2016, he was able to put on an extrication class taught by a Ventura, California County Fire Captain. He also represented TNT rescue equipment. We have the TNT extrication tool out and our Homatro tool out, and we had five vehicles, and we did different accident scenarios involving several cars. Following the exercise, we were told that the TNT equipment that we had just used would be donated to our department. We now have two sets of extrication equipment that protect our equipment. One set is carried on our rescue truck, as always, and one set is on our brand new fire engine. The fire department faces many and numerous challenges in addition to our duties and job descriptions. We respond to structure fires, wildland fires, car wrecks, hazmat situations, and any and all medical emergencies. We train and educate the public in CPR and fire prevention, and we support our community with many fundraising events. However, we still face many serious challenges that threaten our jobs and our ability to provide the safety and protection of our community. We look forward to doing everything we can to offset and manage these challenges. In addition to the budget issues that face the city in relation to our public safety retirement commitment, we also have infrastructure issues with both stations, increase and continuing maintenance on old vehicles and equipment, and huge discrepancy in competitive pay and competitive pay scale and salary compression. We have some ideas and proposed changes to our operation that may help offset these challenges. As with the condition of the turnout gear that we recently replaced, we also face the fact that our breathing apparatus are over 15 years old. This is life-saving equipment that cannot be ignored. We have applied for the 2016 FEMA grant to replace this equipment, and we will find out if we are successfully awarded this grant in the next few months. In 2016, we had a total of 3,126 alarms, the first time our department had ever gone over more than 3,000. And of these calls, 87% of these calls were EMS related, 6% were fire related, and 7% were service related. My command staff has worked, and I have worked hard to prepare a comprehensive report that we handed out to you guys. It goes over our operations, training, inventory, services we provide, and if you get a chance to look that over and have any questions, we'd be glad to answer any of those. And as always, we would invite you to come and see us and give us any ideas or concerns. But 2016 was good. We're off to a real quick start here in 2017. The reason most of the guys are gone is there's been about five calls since the meeting started. And we're already over 600 calls in the first 9 weeks of the year. So we're doing pretty good. Thank you.
Any questions of Chief Berlin?
I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Chief, I didn't realize that the scuba gear was 15 years old. But what roughly does it cost us to replace even one?
One pack is roughly about $6,000. And the amount of the grant that we wrote was for $225,000. That's going to give us 20 packs, 20 spare bottles, and a brand new fill station, which is how you put in the clean air. We do send out air samples right now, so our present system is working, but the fill station has been there longer than I have, and the air packs are, again, getting close to where the bottles can no longer be put in operation.
And I know that every time we put in for a FEMA grant, it does take quite a bit of time, and we always hope that we make the cut. How long is the process before we know if we're granted anything?
The grant was due August 13th of 2015. And we won't know the successful awards start being handed out sometime at the end of April and go through August. And when we were awarded the 2014 grant, it came in August of 2015. It takes a little while.
It does.
Thank you.
Any further questions for the council?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the presentation. I appreciate the fact that you didn't read your report. You actually gave us some good information, and thank you, and thank all of your guys. Lieutenant Perez, thank you, sir.
Very good.
Mr. Smith?
Yes, ma'am.
Just a question. Can we put this report on our website so the public can read it?
Sure.
Because I think it's important for them to know exactly, you know, what our guys do and how hard they do work.
Sure, Ms. Coronado, can we get that done, please, ma'am? Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. And, Chief, I'm going to be attending the union meeting Tuesday, so tell the guys to bring some of those good ideas you were talking about. Next item is, as luck would have it, after four comes item five, and that is discussion of possible approval of the proposed budget for the Arts Bisbee Arts Commission art auction, and we have Ms. Schumacher signed up. I know you know 3 minutes.
It's a bad joke. My name is Karen Schumacher. I live in Old Bisbee, and I am your chair for the Arts Commission. This evening, I'm mostly here to facilitate any questions that you have. The only thing that I would ask is if the mayor will tell the public where our funding comes from. Not from the general fund, but...
No.
We have our own bank account, so it's not coming from the city of Bisbee so much as money, right? We raise ourselves.
Right. This is not out of the coffers of the city general fund. Absolutely. So, do we have any questions of Ms. Schumacher? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move to approve the proposed budget for the Bisbee Arts Commission art auction.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
That was
well
fabulous.
Done, Ms. Schumacher.
Fabulous.
The next item is discussion of possible approval of the acceptance of gifts to the city of Bisbee from Sloan Bouchevet and license to construct pickleball courts on city property. I would like to see how we get this down to the audience to pass a couple of these around. Thank you. See, we'll pass it to the big young guy. And council, here's one for this end, and here's one for this end. And what you are looking at is a rendering of the Higgins Park, where a swimming pool is. And what this is the Bouchevets wish to donate the resurfacing of the basketball court and the construction of two regulation pickleball courts at the park, as well as they have provided funding to refurbish and get the kiddie pool in operation this year to include shade and so forth, and installing a jungle gym at Garfield Park. And this isn't your normal jungle gym. This is a huge thing that can accommodate 40 to 45 children at a time. It's like 54 feet long and like 12 feet high, and one thing is the basketball court is the center jump area is going to be a 3-foot City of Bisbee logo, mm-hmm. So it can actually be seen from the highway as you're driving by and look down. So with that, this is gratis. It's not costing the city anything. The city is installing the jungle gym. The jungle gym will be here in 2 weeks. and it's set to be installed a week after that. Ground is to be broken April 1st, and this will be completed by Memorial Day. And the kiddie pool engineering is being done on that as we speak. So the kiddie pool is kind of interesting because, as some of us know, when you put chlorine into the pool, it went into the kiddie pool first, and then the concentration of chlorine was too high, so it couldn't be used. And by the time the concentration got down to be used, then it wasn't high enough in the big pool. So new pumps, a completely new self-contained circulation system has to be put into the kiddie pool. And as I indicated, the funds have already been provided to the city for that. Checks have been written. All we need to do is graciously accept this, what I believe is an incredible gift, totaling right at $140,000. Questions? Comments?
I have a
Ms. Clay.
Question. I think the donation is great. I do have concern with the pickleball courts because it looks like it takes up such a large amount, and that area is not really that big up there. And then the other concern I have is that they will be selecting the contractor, so the city has no say in any of that.
That's right. It's their gift. Number one, the pickleball court is going where the volleyball court is now that's not being used and hasn't been used in a very long time. So it's actually just reusing a section. Two, if one were to check, there's for pickleball contractors, there's one major one, and that's out of Phoenix, and that's who's been hired. There's none available locally. There certainly isn't any available even in Tucson. So that's why it's being done. It takes a special, it's a high tension slab so it doesn't fracture. And it's an acrylic coating. And that same acrylic coating is being put on the basketball court, which, as you know, is in very, very bad shape right now. And so it refurbishes it. So, yes, the city has no say in the contractors because this is a gift to us, not money handed to us, which we would then, of course, have to go for an RFP and so forth if it was money given to us. So this actually streamlines the process greatly.
It does, but I, like I said, I still have concerns because we don't know a thing about the contractor. And anything else that we would be doing in town, we would certainly, mm-hmm. you know, have the contractor go through everything, and we would know, you know, what they do and how and other projects that they've done. We have no information in here as to any of that.
I'm sorry, I'm not. The contractor's been well vetted. When we got our package, their names in it, we could have checked on the internet. It indicates all of the projects that they've been involved in. Their website is very, very comprehensive as far as what they do and so forth.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not in our packet.
The name of the contractor?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it has general acrylics, but
that's
it has
the name of the contract.
But it has nothing, no information on them. There's nothing. I mean, we had, you know, like I said, generally we have, well, you know, these are the things that they've worked on, and pictures of
yes,
such. And
that's because we would be hiring them. We're
being
asked to accept.
I think that we should have that information.
I see. Okay. All right. Anything else?
I move to approve the acceptance of gifts to the city of Bisbee from Sloan. How do you say it?
Bouchevet,
licensed to construct pickleball courts on city property.
I second it.
Ms. Coronado, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously, and thank you to the Bouchevets. City Manager's report.
I have nothing to report tonight, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The council has received the city manager's report for the last 2 weeks at the end of both weeks, and certainly have had the opportunity to talk to Mr. Marsh about any questions that we may have had. It's not down here, but I believe you asked to say
yes.
Something.
Concerning,
so Mr. Davis.
Yes. In Ward 1, we have a situation with a number of feral cats in a neighborhood that are really, it's been ongoing. It's been a problem for the people who live there. They're quite upset. And there doesn't seem to be any way to deal with this situation because the city has no regulations concerning the number of cats that one person has. And it's been reported that this person has like 50 cats feeding these cats, and they're messing all around, and the smell is horrible. So what I'd like to bring forth the council and perhaps put on the upcoming agenda is just talk about putting some kind of regulation of the number of cats, and maybe even, you know, there's a lot of dogs in this city as well, the number of dogs when
there is a regulation
is there can have. Other cities have these kind of rules, and that way it would give these people some recourse, as now they've talked to the police about it, so they can't do anything about it because there's no regulation about the cats. So it would help do that. So I'd like to have us think about that and bring it up, put it on the agenda for next meeting.
Taco stand?
I'm sorry?
You can do a taco stand.
thank you, Mr. Davis. do we have a motion?
I move we adjourn.
Thank you, ma'am. Do we have
second.
A second? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Thank you all for coming.